Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD. TD, what's up, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, fellas.
TD, what was your reaction to the Super Bowl? Obviously, a great defensive performance by the Bucs in that game. They were all over the place after Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady gets it done and wins his seventh Super Bowl title. What was your reaction to that game? How surprised were you that Tampa Bay's defense dominated to the extent that they did?
Yeah, I was very surprised that they dominated that way. I figured either Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, one of them were going to get off. I thought it was going to be Kelce, but neither one of them did. So that really impressed me. And just the fact that they were able to get pressure and still have coverage on the back end like they did, that surprised me. I definitely didn't imagine the Chiefs not getting into the end zone at least once, but that's what happened. And now you see Todd Bowles, how he was able to put together that plan, and the guys went out there and they balled out, and I was really impressed with that.
So on Brady in particular, TD, do you think that he got a lot better from last year to this year? I totally understand, and maybe a lot is overstating things, but I thought he looked like a guy who was, you know, close to the end and granted with a totally different team and not at all those offensive weapons, but I don't know. I just thought he looked rejuvenated this year. Is that part of this story, you think?
Yeah, I think it is. And it's just when you have a competitor like that and you present an opportunity like that in front of them, they're going to kind of get that splash into that fountain of youth, so to speak. And I think he was rejuvenated. And then, it didn't hurt that he was able to get his guy back, right? And Rob Gronkowski, obviously Mike Evans, you know, Scotty Miller, Antonio Brown, there's so many options. Chris Godwin, there's so many things that they were able to do with all of those guys. And you did see him look rejuvenated. He pushed the ball down the field really well, and he was energized, man. And it was fun to watch him this year. And you saw the numbers he put up, and that's why he's elevated into the greatest of all time status for me.
TD, we've talked a lot about the Titans this week, kind of handing out some grades for some position groups, and one of the positions we talked about earlier was just the return game in general, whether it's kick return, punt return. It just feels like it's been a long time since the Titans have had a true weapon in that area. Number one, what do you think Darrington Evans and his future could look like there? Could he be that guy? And number two, if not, how much of a priority should that be for the Titans as they look ahead to some off-season decisions they're going to have to make to try to revitalize the return game?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Since I've been here over the last three seasons, I've seen one return for a touchdown, and that was Darius Jennings, right, against Miami. And that was the season opener, 2018, a kick return. I haven't seen any other returns end up in the end zone. And you don't really see many of high significance. And that's crazy. And it's something that has to be fixed for a team that so rely upon complementary football. Part of that formula is field position. So that's obviously something that has to be addressed. I think it's something that they definitely need to look at. Darrington Evans, I think, can present a degree of explosiveness there. I do like the way he's able to hit a gear pretty quickly, which is essentially what you have to do, you know, on kick return. You got to catch that thing and get up in there and go. And I think he could do that. The punt return, it's great to have a guy who, you know, will catch the ball every time and won't muff it. But, man, how much better would they be if they get someone who will return it to the end zone sometimes or give you a big momentum-changing return? You need those on punts, right? You know, you get the three and out, and then you cap it off with a nice punt return. That really could shift things around and make a game change momentum and go your way.
So, TD, understanding that, you know, free agency is going to dictate a lot of things, I think we probably all think that there's a good chance this team goes there and the draft for, you know, for edge help. Of those guys who are sort of, you know, projected around the first round, the Rousseaus, the Ojulari's, the Pays, any of them in particular stand out to you as someone you think they should be targeting?
Yeah, man, Ojulari is so fun to watch, and he's complete. His hands are really good. He is used on stunts. I said it yesterday on the what we call the TD Power Hour with Stillman and friends, which will be every Thursday at 3 p.m. I have to plug that. But I said yesterday that, you know, he is definitely along the lines of a Yannick Ngakoue. So I really like Ojulari. But I'll say this. I watched a little bit more Wake Forest yesterday and also, you know, seeing him at the Senior Bowl. Carlos Basham is something to behold, too. And you talk about a combination of speed, power, quickness. That dude is really good. And he's not really getting a lot of convo, but he will likely be there at 22. So he's someone else for them to get, a bigger guy, you know, that can play that five technique. But I saw him standing up and rushing the passer off the edge as well. So, you know, Boogie Basham, that's what they call him, Boogie. He's a guy as well that I think should factor in.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And TD, the trade rumors are firing up with Carson Wentz out there. Obviously, it looks like his time in Philadelphia is coming to an end. I mean, the Colts have been linked. The Bears have been linked. A whole bunch of teams may be interested in Carson Wentz. Regardless of where he ends up, what is the next team getting in Carson Wentz, in your opinion? And if it's the Colts, how scared should Titans fans be? Should they be scared at all of Carson Wentz ending up in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think they're getting a quarterback that is having a processing problem and a problem believing what he's seeing. And that's really the thing with Wentz. And, I mean, he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks last year, and he only played 12 games. So, obviously, you know, offensive line is something to be concerned about, and that went into it. But also, him just staring things down and not throwing the ball was a big factor. So I think you're getting a quarterback that you have to fix from that perspective. You're getting a guy that's uber talented. You know, there's a lot that he could do, but I think it's more of a mental thing that you got to get him going and have him process better. And if the Colts are able to get him, I think that's the best situation. Frank Wright, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit for working with Wentz. John DeFilippo, who's not there, was the main guy, but Reich had a lot to do with it too. And then his quarterback coach, Press Taylor, is there now in Indy, who was his coach in Philly. So it's a good situation for Wentz to go there. He could get back with some familiar guys. Now, there were some issues with how Taylor coached him. You know, some of the other guys felt that he babied Wentz. So, you know, you're kind of inheriting a situation where guys will be looking at it like, hey, you know, we want to see how this works out because it didn't work out in Philly. But I think it would be good for the Colts. But Wentz, you know, he'll turn the football over. So I definitely think that would be good for Kevin Byard and the crew, because I know Byard is looking to get back on track as one of the top interceptors in the league.
Well, so it's interesting to think of him there. I said earlier I thought maybe, you know, the floor might be lower compared to Phillip Rivers with Wentz, because, I mean, we've seen how many quarterbacks in this league get beat up to a point where they're diminished. But I also think maybe the ceiling could be higher with him if it all worked out and he was healthy and got himself back together. I mean, what do you think about if their team is essentially the same going from Rivers to Wentz, if it's, you know, I guess best case scenario with Wentz, what does that mean for them?
Yeah, I think that'll put them right back in the mix for the AFC South division title. That's what I think. And just from a playbook perspective, you could add in that read option, you know, and you could put in some RPOs. You're not really doing that with Phillip Rivers, right? He's setting his ways, and he's going to sit in that pocket, and he's going to sling the ball that way. But Wentz, you know, you get a different perspective, a different layer to the playbook. A guy like Frank Reich would definitely be able to do a lot with that.
All right, so I got two Love Week questions for you, TD, to finish, okay? First of all, I'm going to say this. Find someone who loves you like TD loves football. So I got to ask you this, TD. Is this a time period where there's, like, some depression because we just saw the last game for a while, or are you just rejuvenated, ready for all this off-season stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. My drop box is full of all 22 for college, so, you know, I watched a bunch of that. I admittedly was up until about 2:30 last night watching some stuff.
Wow.
So yeah, man, it's what happens. You know, you get so stuck in watching this stuff, and I mean, I love watching it just to get a better perspective than just a TV copy. So my fix is still being fulfilled, even though there aren't any games.
Very good. And then, so we're doing Love Week. And today's question is, piece of advice to keep a relationship going a long time. Is that the right way to phrase it?
Yeah, what's the key to a long-lasting, healthy relationship?
Yeah, if you had one piece of advice.
Never let the flame go out. So always keep dating. That's my advice.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Well done, TD.
Very good one. All right.
That's better than the advice we threw out there earlier. That's for sure. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. TD, great stuff, man, as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys, man. Have a great weekend and a great rest of the show.
Absolutely. Thanks, appreciate you, man. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what TD had to say there. And also throw this out there. We've gone through our grades for the Titans. We've identified some needs in the draft. What are the top needs in the draft for the Tennessee Titans? We'll discuss that next. Take your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. And who doesn't love free beer? Later in the show, we're going to have your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst, will join us to begin the next segment. So looking forward to that. We'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators with him. Joe Rex Road, we've gone through our grades for the Titans this week and handed out by position. And as we've done it, we've identified some needs for the Titans heading into the offseason coming up, whether it's free agency or in the draft. We've also talked about how we've handed out a lot of draft picks for the Titans. Like I think picked like 19 different groups that they need to draft this year with our grades. Obviously not enough picks to do that for John Robinson and company. So as you look ahead to the draft, knowing that free agency is going to influence this in a large way, and we don't know exactly how that's going to shake out, if you had to identify the top three needs for the Titans right now in terms of position groups, what would they be? Where would you start for the Titans?
And again, this is draft only.
Draft only.
Of course, yeah, we just, last segment, we added punt returner to the mix, although that can be, of course, in the form of a receiver, which is definitely one of those three. I mean, you have to project, even if they keep Corey Davis, they have to draft a receiver,
yes,
to me. So I think the easy answer, if you have to pick three, there's two that I think are no-brainers, and that is edge and receiver. They have to have more depth at receiver. They may be losing their slot receiver. They may be losing their two and their three. They have to have more on the back end. So maybe later in the draft, depending on how things go free agency. We don't know where, but position group, that has to be one of them. Edge has to be one of them. And then it gets really interesting because if you're losing Jayon Brown, do you not have to draft an inside linebacker? If you're losing Kenny Vaccaro, do you not have to draft a safety? Maybe you don't because you have, you know, Clue and Crookshank. I don't know.
Johnny Smith.
If you lose Jonnu Smith, you have to draft tight end, and you might have to anyway. You know, that's the thing too. Like, is actually going to be this market for Firkser that some people think? I mean, he's been a really good, productive player. So right now, you just mentioned some stuff we can't answer right now. But if I had to, and then you can go offensive line. It's very good, but if Isaiah Wilson is, if you have no confidence that he's going to be anyone who can matter for you, how do you not somewhere along the way bolster that? The line of scrimmage. So, I mean, free agency is going to dictate this, okay, obviously, to some extent. But I'm going to go edge. I'm going to go receiver. And I'm going to go defensive line.
Okay.
I think that you just have to change over so much about that defensive front. And, you know, last year they took Murchison in the fifth round, and we'll see on him. I thought he showed some good things. They need to really they need to be better there in terms of depth and disruption. And I think you're going to lose. And I think Daquan Jones is going to be somewhere else next year too.
Yeah, I think the edge is the obvious part of this. Like, you know, they've got to get some help on the edge at outside linebacker. I think you might have to go multiple picks in that area in the draft this year. Obviously, I think your top pick needs to be spent there, and maybe you get one a little bit later in the draft where the expectations aren't going to be quite as high. But, you know, Ojulari is a name that's been thrown out there. Rousseau is a name that's been thrown out there. Like, you've got to address that. Like, even if it means trading up, if you're John Robinson, you've got to find a way to bring somebody in that can be a building block that you feel good about at outside linebacker on the edge for years to come. So that to me, far and away, is number one. To me, far and away, number two is receiver. I don't care if Corey Davis is back next year. You've got to add some depth to that receiving room. I mean, last year, let's be honest, it was A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. That's pretty much it. I mean, they got contributions here and there from Batson, and especially earlier in the season from Raymond. He made a few nice plays. But really, it was Corey Davis and A.J. Brown all season long, especially when Humphreys went down with injury. I mean, that just cannot be the case again next season. You've got to add some depth to that room. So I think the top two to me are clear. It's edge rusher and receiver. I've struggled on where to go after that because I think there's a few different ways you could take it. I think the point you bring up on the line is a big point for as far as the defensive line is concerned. You've got to have some more help on the interior as well. I agree. I don't think Daquan Jones is going to be here. But I think if I had to choose, I would go inside linebacker after that for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're losing Jayon Brown, I would assume. Like, it's going to be difficult to keep him. So, Of the three big free agents that we've talked about, I think Jayon Brown may be the least likely to come back. So if that's the case, I think you should go about replacing him there. Maybe David Long Jr. is that guy and you feel good about it. But also, like, I don't know how, if you're the Titans, you could feel great about Rashawn Evans right now either. And so I think help at inside linebacker is crucial for this team, and preferably a guy that could run. I mean, they got exposed in that area in the passing game a few times this year as well. So I would give that the slight edge right now over the defensive line in terms of the needs that they have, but I do think it's close.
This is where that's, you know, the Zaven Collins idea is interesting. And that's, you know, our Dane Brugler, excuse me. There we go. Dane Brugler had the Titans taking him, and at first, with his first mock draft, now he has Jalen Phillips,
yep.
Miami. The other Miami edge rusher who basically took Gregory Rousseau's place this year and was great too. But the Zaven Collins thing is interesting because, I mean, some people project him both ways, inside and outside. Now, that was kind of said about Rashawn Evans too. You know, when they took him in 2018, that was, you know, he came in as an edge guy at Alabama. He can do that. And they actually did try it some last year. But, you know, really, he hasn't been that versatile. Not as versatile as sold at first. But I think Zaven Collins might actually be. You know, he does everything. And he's very athletic. So a guy like that could be interesting. But I also think that first pick, it's like you feel like it's got to be the most sack total that you can possibly get from a guy. Like, who is going to bring down quarterbacks? You know, you got to start there. So, yeah, I agree. I think we both agree. It's two positions are no-brainers. And I think you make a good point on with Evans, too. I don't totally do not expect Jayon Brown to be here next year. Long is a nice young player, but that is a very, you know, Will Compton came in this year, did a nice job, but I think you've got to address that.
I do too. And, you know, a guy we've talked about on the edge has been Gregory Rousseau. I mean, I did my Call Your Shot Friday last week. I selected him as the guy I think the Titans are going to draft. But you do look at him. He didn't play this past year. You look back at 2019, he was outstanding. 15 and a half sacks. He was all over the place. 34 solo tackles. I mean, he was a really good player for Miami. Does it concern you at all, if you're the Titans, that he's only done it for 1 year? Like, is when you're evaluating the talent that we know he has, how big of a factor is it that you've only seen 1 year of production out of Rousseau? Because in 2018, I mean, he didn't have a single sack. He had, you know, five tackles.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a little bit of a concern. And he's one of those guys, like, so for example, like Ja'Marr Chase, a lot of people have him as a top receiver. Yeah. He didn't play. He was just fine. Everybody knows what he is. Rousseau probably helps himself if he plays this year. He's a little bit more of a sure thing. And, of course, combine is different. Pro days are huge. But, yeah, it's – I mean, look, Kevin Dodd is that guy who had 1 year. And he was amazing in the national championship game against Alabama. But there wasn't – that was one of the things people said. Is there enough there to where you know who he is? You know, on the other side, the other Miami guy, who, again, Brugler had them getting yesterday in his mock – has had concussion issues.
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips, he was the number one recruit in the country by some services when he came out, went to UCLA, but he actually shut it down there because of concussions. Now he came back. Again, he was very good for Miami last year, but like there's some kind of a question with everyone, you know. Another thing is in this league, you do not see very many. I know Titans fans remember the Freak here 20 years ago, but very rarely do you see rookie. You know, pass rushers have big production
right.
Early. You see it some, but that's kind of been the trend. It's why, again, it's why there's such a market for pass rushers, why people pay a ton, why I don't think the Bucs will let Shaq Barrett go. But you got to get, I mean, you have to find someone you believe is going to grow into a difference maker on that front.
Coming up next, we'll dive back into the Nashville Predators. Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the game last night against Detroit and look ahead to the matchup coming up tomorrow as well. Looking forward to that conversation. And speaking of the Preds, when the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a prize pack. And the next chance to participate is Monday morning at 8:45. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And you hear that music, you know it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
We're doing great this morning, guys. Thank you. And I'm just enjoying my – I was going to say and – Porthy, man, Ryan said, say it this way, you're enjoying your fabulous cup of coffee.
Wow, that's well done. Well done by you and Ryan Porth.
I got to give the Porth man credit for that one.
Well, we've kind of been ripping on him all show long, so he probably deserves some credit in some way.
Crispy, thanks for having my back, yeah, Crispy.
Crispy, we've got a lot to get to today, obviously, with the hockey team, but I want to start with this. We've been doing something called Love Week all week on the show, handing out some advice to our listeners, and today's question is this. If you had to give one piece of advice on the secret to a long and healthy relationship, Dr. Crispy, what would that advice be?
To a long and happy and healthy relationship?
That is correct.
Give and take.
Okay.
My wife and I have been married for 55 years, going on 56, and we look back on a lot of our years, and she's probably my best bet. We go down the friend, et cetera, et cetera. And when you look back over all the trails we've traveled, I think, just remember, it's give and take.
Very nice. I like that, Crispy. Well done.
Very good.
So, Crispy, as you look at the game last night against Detroit, what stood out to you for the Predators? Obviously, Pekka-Rinne back in goal, outstanding last night. Favreau finds a way to get it done. What did you think of the Predators and their effort last night against Detroit?
You know what? I thought the effort was good enough to win the game, which it was. But I think, and a lot of us were surprised at the team we run into, and I think the Predators got a little stymied. Not that they overlooked them or, like the coach had mentioned, they weren't looking past them or whatnot, but Detroit is one fast hockey club. And you know what it seems like? Every time we're talking about our opponents, we go with the speed. Everybody's coming at you with speed now. It started with the Hurricanes and Dallas and Tampa, and they just keep coming. And last night I was impressed with the speed that the Detroit Red Wings threw at us, and I was equally impressed with the game, the scoring chances both teams created, and the goaltending by both Pecorine and Grice. So to me, it was an entertaining game in that area.
Yeah, what's it been like here lately, Crispy, watching Pecorine in goal?
You know what? We've watched him for so long, and I admire him so long. To me, he's one of the classiest hockey people I've run across on both on. And if you ever heard, listen to his interview last night, we were sitting there when Kara Hammer was interviewing him, and I was sitting there by myself and just thinking to myself, what a class talk, this is not speech, from the heart. She asked him about his, and he says, you know what? He said, I've had a great career. He said, I don't know when it'll end. I don't know how much longer it will go on. But he said, I'm going to enjoy every minute, every day, every practice, every game of it. I'm going to enjoy my teammates. I'm going to enjoy going into the dressing room. It was just an unbelievable. I left the rink last night and Cone said to my wife, you know what? Pekka just lived up to everything we said about him. What a class person he is.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, another power play goal for the Preds last night. Ryan Ellis puts one home in the first period. Dante Fabbro had a power play goal a couple of games ago against Tampa Bay. Are you seeing anything different out there on the power play? Anything that you like that the Preds are doing lately on the power play?
The one thing I do, and I've been harping on this for quite a while now, they're moving the puck quicker in the offensive zone. They're snapping. We don't get the long up and down the sideboards. The guys used to get the puck and go up and down, up and down, up and down, 35, 40 seconds, trying to decide what to do with it. The other team just let them stay there. Now the guys are moving. They're moving to the openings. They're putting it down in the corner behind the net, back out, like Coach Hines says. They're taking it deep and then throwing it back to the point real fast before the other team can get down deep and back out. And they're starting to shoot. Now, the shooting was good, except that we weren't getting it through. Now we're getting it through. And that was a typical Ryan Ellis one-timer from Forsberg, from Josie, tic-tac-toe. That's how you plan it. Then the kid, Fabbro, he's one of the few that knew he can get that puck through from the point on net without a cannon, without a big wind-up, just a quick wrist shot through. And that was the game. And the other goal he scored was the same way. So to me, the power play is starting to figure out that the faster we move the puck and the quicker we get it on their net, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, what was it, poor Mr. Fabbro-less?
Fabulous coffee.
Yes, there you go. But obviously, I mean, he's had some struggles. I mean, he's still a young player. I think sometimes we forget that because obviously he had that terrific kind of coming out party in 2019. What have you seen from him overall as a player? What do you think something like last night might do for him? And also, Crispy, what's the outlook for this defense corps with Ekholm out week to week at this point?
You know what? With the youngster, Fabbro, he's going to get nothing but better. Nothing but better. You can tell. And don't forget, he's missed quite a bit of hockey due to the last year's shortage. It's a short schedule, the pandemic, the way we're working, and now being – you know, get pushed into every second night of game or whatever. He is still in the learning stage. But he's playing with so much more confidence now. I watch him take the puck now and come up ice. I watch him get back and defend better. He's maturing. And you can see the maturing of him coming along right now and playing alongside of guys like Ekholm and Josi and Ellis, the veterans out there. He's going to learn and make it that much quicker. But I like his game. And I like his attitude. If you ever listen to his interviews, he's a very mature young man when it comes to talking hockey.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Crispy, I want to circle back to Pekka because we knew heading into this season it was going to be a different role for him. you know, 1A, 1B, him being the backup, whatever role you, whatever way you want to put it. But I just feel like with the way he's played as of late, he has earned more playing time as they move forward. Number one, do you agree with that? And number two, how impressive is it, in your opinion, to see him bounce back this season and do what he's doing right now at the age of 38?
You know what? It's impressive. Really impressive at the age of 38. Usually the goaltenders by then have, you know, said, okay, it's been a good run and whatnot. But his bounce back this year, but he's come back with he's had the experience. We've had that. We've seen what he can do. But I think now he's reached a stage in his life, in his career, where he is complacent with what he's done. He knows what he's capable of. He knows what he's done and what he can do. And when he's called upon, he said he'll do the best he can to do it. So that's what Pecorino brings right now. And I think that Coach Hines, when you listen to Coach Hines talk, this is the best thing for Saros. Having a person like Pecorino in the dressing room with him, in practice with him, sitting on the plane or the buses, wherever they are, talking to each other. And they're the best of buddies. You ask both of them. They're friends. They're not in competition. They both want to play. Hey, they both want to be in the thing. That's your nature. That's why you're an athlete. That's why you play pro sports, is to compete. But they also support each other. And I think that we as a community, as a team, and as fans, especially hockey, are really, really lucky to have both the goaltenders, Rene and Saros, here. And you know what? The players feel the same way because they have confidence in both these goaltenders when they go out on the ice.
So, Crispy, now having seen the Preds play against everybody in this, you know, one-year Central Division, anything stand out to you that maybe surprises you about the division in general? Where do you think the Preds fit in here?
I'll tell you what, we're in tough. I'll be honest. We are in tough. Every team in our division is coming this year. Like, they're all what we've seen so far. I mean, Detroit last night, their speed. We know what Tampa's capable of. We know what Dallas did to us. The Florida team, unreal. The Hurricanes, fast. We're in as they are. We're bunched up in a bunch of. It's going to be a race, and it's going to go right down. Willie Donick says it, and he repeats it. It's going to go right down to the wire, and it's going to be because your 3-point games are going to be so, so tremendous down towards the end because we're going to be bunched.
Preds TV analyst Terry Criss has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Crispy, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, guys, my pleasure. We appreciate you guys on the morning runs with us. We have fun with you.
Absolutely. Terry Criss, one of the best in the business, an absolute legend here with the Nashville Predators. And it is interesting. Like, you look at this division right now, and Florida, I got to tell you, that's the surprise team to me so far. Like, you know what you have in Tampa. I think we knew Carolina was going to be pretty good. But Florida right now, I mean, you're talking about 8-1-2 on the season. That's a heck of a run Joel Quenneville has been able to put together so far.
Despite Joel Quenneville.
Yeah, despite that.
No, they've been very impressive. And, you know, to Porth's point, I guess the Stars would be the biggest disappointment at this point?
Probably.
I guess the Stars and the Preds. You know, yeah. Not that the Preds had massive expectations, but you hope to be better than 6-8.
Yeah, but Stars, I mean, they're 5-3-3. They've had some injuries. I mean, not having Tyler Seguin, it's a pretty big deal. Ben Bishop not being there, it's a pretty big deal too. So part of their story is the injuries. I still think they're going to be okay, and they'll be able to compete. But not a great run for the Stars as of late.
They've been hot and cold.
They have been.
And that dates back to last season, even before the bubble, when they went, you know, they won the West. But
Couldn't get a goal for a while.
They were very up and down last regular season.
It also helps when, like, Pavelski came out of the gate putting up 5 points a night. That probably helps, too.
And the Blackhawks, we'd count them as along with Florida as a pleasant surprise so far, right? You got to.
At least when they're losing in overtime, I guess.
6-5-4. Yeah, four. Yeah.
It's a lot so far in this season. When we come back, we will revisit the Nashville Predators, talk about the game last night against Detroit, and throw this out there. Is it time for Pecorino to be the number one goaltender for this team once again? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Taken away by Ernie. Now here comes Mantha breaking in. His shot stopped by Pecorino. A game saver there, to be certain.
That absolutely was.
Puck comes over right side for Mantha, and that's going to do it. The Predators come up with a win over the Detroit Red Wings here tonight.
I'm feeling good. I feel like I've felt good since the training camp. And, you know, obviously I want to show it on the ice and play well and get wins for this team. But, yeah, I mean, got to be happy. I mean, starting from last year, there's been ups and downs for me personally too. So when I'm playing well, I'm obviously I gotta be happy about that.
Another great game last night for Pekka Rinne, Nashville Predators goaltender, playing really well right now. The Preds get it done 3-2 against Detroit, back in the win column. They are in 6-8 on the season. They'll play Detroit again tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And Joe, it has us asking the question, with the way that Pekka Rinne has played as of late, has he reclaimed his number one job? Do you think he should be the starting goaltender as the Predators move forward here?
I go with whatever coaches say.
Oh, is that true? Is that true? Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Whatever so speaking of the coach, John Hines was asked about that last night. He was asked whether or not Pekka Rinne deserves to have the number one job as they move forward. Here's what Predators coach John Hines had to say.
John, although you will be using both of your goaltenders throughout the season, has Pekka's play over the past week, has he grabbed hold of the number one job, at least for now?
Yeah, you know, Adam, I don't want to go to say number one, number two at this point, but I think Pekka has played, you know, he's given us a chance to win every night. Fortunately, tonight we were able to find a way to win and reward the effort, but he's making big saves at big times. You know, goals are going to go in the net at certain points in the game, and you know, maybe the second one he'd like to have back. But you know, what he's showing now is just, you know, the resiliency to stay with his game. And he came up big. I mean, we gave up some big chances later in the game, and he made some huge stops. So you know, he's really, it's good to see him. It's good to see him play the way that he's playing. And when you give your team an opportunity to win every night, you're going to get a lot of starts.
So, Joe, you hear those words from John Hines after the game last night, not wanting to get into the number one and the number twos of the goaltenders. But, I mean, that last part of it, when you're playing as well as he's playing, you're going to earn more starts. I think that tells you what you need to know right now. I think right now the Predators have no choice but to go with Pekka Rinne. He's played that well for them as of late.
Yeah, it's flip-flopped. I didn't think it was going to flip-flop this way. I really didn't. I thought after last year, and it's a good and a bad thing. It's great, you know, to see Pekka Rinne play like this. Good for him to stick with it. And obviously, I mean, if you ever had an excuse to like maybe not have your kale shake filled awesome off season, you know, this would have been one. But he must have had a good one, and here he is playing really well. It's also disappointing for the Preds and for UC Soros that he's playing the way he's playing. That it's gone the other way. I thought we were headed toward, because last year, I mean, it felt to me kind of final when they finally went the other way, and these same questions were being asked to John Hines about UC Soros. Is he your number one goalie? And he never said that he is our number one goalie, but clearly he was our number one goalie. And I think clearly right now, that's what Pekka Rinne is.
As you look at the start Pekka's had to this season, knowing that he's 38 years old, how much of this is sustainable in your mind? Like, do you expect him maybe not to be this good as they move forward, but to continue to play at a high level based on what we've seen out of him the last couple of years?
I'm skeptical. I think if you look at his last couple of years, he's had his really good stretches. And I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's been really good early in some seasons and then has kind of, you know, I mean, had rough stretches.
Even
too.
Last year. I mean, we were talking, you know, through the month of October last year, we were talking whether or not Pekka Rinne was going to win another Vezina trophy. And then things fell off in a hurry after that.
And not talking about that at the end. So, yeah, like I mean, it's like any great games you can get out of Pekka Rinne at this point, it's big for you, especially when you are trying to cobble together anything you can to win games. But is it realistic that he's going to play like this all year? Probably not.
Probably not, but I will say it's impressive that he has turned this around in the way that he has, because I thought toward the end of last year, like I think about that Edmonton game last year right before things shut down, and I realize it's McDavid and Draisaitl, and they were just, you know, on a different level that night. But that was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about 8 goals given up in that game. It was a bad game for the Predators. And I thought, man, like I just don't know if Pekka's got it anymore. And to come back, be in great shape this year, move really well. I mean, He had some athletic saves last night that reminded me of like 2012, 2013 vintage Pecorine saves that we're talking about. So, he's not gonna be that every night, and he shouldn't have to be that. Like at some point, you need to play better in front of him as well. But I think it's very encouraging what we've seen so far, and a credit to him that he's come back this year after a tough year, after a weird offseason, and has played as well as he had, and quite frankly, is in as good of a shape as he is.
Yeah, I mean, we're just a few days removed from, you know, a 43-year-old winning the Super Bowl, yeah, looking awfully good doing it, and we all know all the things Tom Brady has done to extend his career, maybe his life. He might live to 130.
He might.
I mean, that is changing, right? Sports, I mean, athletes, every single aspect of living is now part of your regimen as an athlete. Did not used to be that. Not even 20 years ago, it was not that. So does that have some impact? I guess it's just goaltender. You can be an old quarterback. You can be Phillip Rivers and still be effective because mentally you can see the game. You can still throw the ball okay. But that's why goaltenders usually aren't effective this age, right? You have to be a certain level of athletic, quick. It's just not the same. So, but maybe we will see more guys have longer careers because of all the preparation they go through. I mean, obviously he's done a ton to extend his career. He's talked about it. It's pretty significant.
Yeah.
And clearly must be helping.
And we'll see if he gets the start tomorrow night against the Red Wings. I would figure that he would based on the way that he's played. But as we know, a compact schedule. Pecorine continuing to play very well for the Predators. We'll see if he can keep it up tomorrow against Detroit. It is Love Week, the final day of Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And today we would like to hear your story on your number one piece of advice for having a long-lasting and healthy relationship. Call in or text into the game line at 615-737-1025 and tell us your story now for your chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. We'll give that away a little bit later in the show. We've got some great submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com already. Got a texter that says, when I was in the Navy in 1989, before I got married, my chief told me, just remember, it's cheaper to keep her. Still married 32 years. I don't know how great advice that is in terms of having a long relationship, but I guess it's important to keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, it's not really advice. Doesn't really fit the category, but
it's funny.
It rhymes.
It does rhyme.
It was funny.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Max in Kentucky text in, after almost 14 years, I finally started to understand love language. It could be a simple gift, holding hands, or a simple, you're doing great, that really makes their day. So Max from Russellville, Kentucky, texting that in. Love. Have y'all heard of the love language stuff?
Love language.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, like the, I don't know how many different ones there are. Like six different ones, maybe?
I think there's five.
Five? Yeah.
Yep.
Five.
You've never
what?
Heard of this?
No. Five different what?
Like the love language, the way people respond to love, the way they like to give love. It's a thing. Like there's
if this isn't on ScaryMommy.com, I probably don't know.
It probably is on ScaryMommy.com, who has invaded my social media platforms now, thanks to you.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Let's go back to the text
love
line,
language.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trent and Dixon text in, date nights are just as important when you're married as they were when you're dating. TD threw out something similar. Got to keep dating when you're married. Mm-hmm. That's the secret to a long, successful relationship.
Speaking of TD, a great piece of advice, Joe, that you mentioned with TD is find somebody that loves you as much as TD
loves
football.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Plain Joe text in, understand that life goes through seasons of focus. Family, career, play. Be diligent in knowing what season you and your spouse are in individually and weighing the need to maintain or shift focuses individually or as a family. That's deep from Plain Joe there.
Yeah.
I like that.
It is. It makes sense.
Katie from Fort Campbell text in, best friendship. My husband and I are best friends first, husband and wife second. Never stop being best friends. That's good advice there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. A lot of these, they're sort of linked. You know, there's a lot of kind of the same themes. I'm still waiting for someone to say something that I'm like, whoa, what? And then I'm like, oh.
Well, we have had a text about, hey, one of the secrets to a long, healthy relationship is having separate bank accounts. Like, you're not having to fight over money. So you've got, you know, I mean, a lot of couples do fight over money. So if you've got separate bank accounts, you're splitting up the bills, you're not really fighting over money at that point.
Yeah. See, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with that one.
Okay.
I think that's a terrible idea, personally. I mean, I know it works for some people. It works for some people. But I don't think that. I disagree. I think it's better to share everything.
That was your advice when we began this part of the program, is talk about everything, share everything.
Yeah.
With your significant other.
Yeah, say what you really, yeah.
Fight all the time.
Don't be afraid to fight, but don't keep things from each other. Don't be afraid to fight.
Yes.
Fights, you know, it's just like
it anything. It can be healthy.
Well, it's just like individually. If sure. you let everything stay bottled up, it's not healthy.
Exactly.
Unload. Let it out.
We'll continue.
Same with a relationship.
We'll continue to take your text for the rest of the show on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Your number one piece of advice for a long-lasting, healthy relationship. The winner today will win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. When we come back, some breaking news in the NFL. A longtime division rival for the Tennessee Titans is finally on the move officially. We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.